verses in the Bible that connect the words one and another. Most of them have the words one another together. Just a couple verses put another word in. For example, like this one here, speak not evil one of another or something else. But I tried to find as many verses that had those two words, one another together. There's one other one after this one where Peter has it to live in harmony one with another. So that will be next Sunday, three more lessons. Next Sunday night, confess your faults one to another, and then live in harmony one with another. Then the third and last, I'm just going to give a review after the first of the year. You see there's just two, in looking at your notes, you can see there's just two verses that connect the similar thought with this lesson. You know, by the way, this lesson doesn't address our general conversation about one another. That's not evil speaking. It's not talking about when we express our opinions, our likes, our dislikes, our preferences. Someone asked me the other night, what do you think about the preacher's sermon at the gospel meeting? And so I told him what I thought. Just might not been he preached the truth, but just wasn't my particular style. Or you might say, it was longer than I would have gone, or not as long. And so you just kind of, that's just getting general conversation. I had a coffee with Rick Griffin the other day. I hadn't seen him for 20 years or longer, and he just called up and said, "Hey, Brian, let's get together." And I said, "Okay, we just talked about people." But in a good way, we just rehearsed all the friends we knew from 30, 35 years ago that when he was a teenager, when I first came to Chula Vista. So that's not evil speaking when you just, in your general conversation, because we're going to get to a definition of evil speaking in our text here. But in this section, James, who, by the way, is the Lord's brother, and also he has a brother named Jude. But if you look at Jude, verse 1. So the James and Jude are brothers, and Jesus' brother. And James is now again speaking about the improper use of the tongue, as he did earlier in the book. So evidently there were some in James' congregation or James' audience that were prone to sin in this matter. James writes to those who, and I'm going to use the phrase, unjustly speak about their brethren. Unjustly. You almost have to put an adjective or an adverb in with this speaking about one another to clarify the definition. I'm going to read, and I put the whole verse in your notes at the top. James chapter 4, beginning of verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Another translation adds one against another. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother, speak evil of the law, judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? So evil, speak not evil. There's the negative law or command or admonition. Speak not evil. So he's condemning, and I put the habit or the practice of doing this. It's the intent of this speaking being evil, this destruction. When you speak evil of a brother, the intent is to destroy in some way. And so even the sentence structure forbids the action, but also the will or the desire. Why, I was like saying, I can't wait to destroy my brother. That's what James is forbidding. We don't want that to be part of our character, our reputation, or our demeanor. It's like someone says, "Boy, I know something bad about you, and I can't wait to tell it." Well, James is saying that's what we don't want to do, or we don't want that to happen. He says, stop speaking against each other, brethren. So he's talking about members speaking against members in the congregation. And implied in this is that the speaking is done in the absence of the other. Meaning, it's done behind the other's back. And even and it's evil speaking, and so you may be using good grammar. You may not be using any vulgarity or swearing, but it's evil speaking. So we're concerned about the content of the speaking in this text. In other words, it's malicious. It's the intent of putting the other brother in a bad light. It's the evil speaking is, now I'll add some words here to get clarification, continuous or habitual tearing down of the other. That's evil speaking. Keyword evil. So we can speak about one another, but we don't want to speak evil and give a bad report. Every time this person's name is mentioned, we would want to say something slanderous about them. That would be evil speaking. In Psalm 15, beginning of verse 1, Psalmist said, "Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks," and that question is answered now, "he that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor." So speak not evil is the opening phrase. But then here's the consequences, or what's wrong with it. So he that speaks evil of his brother, so I kind of put in your notes on the next major heading, well, I'm saying, what's wrong with a little bad mouthing? Sometimes people get a joy out of that. So James answers the question here. What's wrong with evil speaking? I put at least six things, and they're all right from the text, right from the verse. Six things in the verse above. Verse 1, when we speak evil of a brother, we judge the brother. So the evil in this speaking and in the judgment is that we form unfavorable opinions regarding a brother, but it's included in that without being able or willing to know the real character of our brother's actions. You judged your brother. You may not know the motives that led to that brother's actions or their words. In other words, you don't have all the information. In other words, you've imputed unworthy motives to a brother. You put the worst possible interpretation on their actions. And that shows a lack of love on our part. So that's the first thing. When you speak evil of a brother, you've made a judgment. That's in the verse. I'm not making that one up. It's not just me talking. You've made a judgment. Number two, you spoke evil of the law or against the law when you evil speak. Our actions ignore the law of love. Love your neighbors yourself or love one another. All these one another verses we've been talking about on Sunday nights. And then we act in a fashion that's contrary to the law of love and the law of trying to get along with one another. And the law that James mentions here, the law that says don't speak evil of your brother. So first we made a judgment and we spoke evil of the law. And we've judged the law. A little bit different interpretation or commentary. The idea of when we judge the law, by our action we pass judgment on the law by declaring it's not a good law and it's not worthy to be obeyed. We've judged the law. In effect, we've said, loving one another is a bad law. It's defective, and therefore, because I've made that judgment, I can disregard it, and thereby I pass judgment on that law. And we do that all the time in society. Even First Calvin just mentioned something on the way to the building when we're listening to a ball game, and the guy said, "Oh, he can't catch the ball now because he went out of bounds and came back in." So what a dumb law! Who made that rule? Why is that rule in the game? Now, that doesn't make sense. You know what we just did? We've made a judgment on the law or the rule for that on basketball, only one shot. Or you have to commit so many fouls before you can take a penalty shot. In the law. We judge law. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, when I'm on a highway and I'm going 65 miles an hour, and I look at a long stretch of highway. I might be on a trip back to Michigan, and I look at that highway, and I go, look how long that highway is. It's straight. It's flat. It's through the desert. There's two lanes going the same way here. I don't see any cars in sight. You know, this speed limit law is ridiculous. 65 on a straightaway like this, I'm going 75. You know what I just did? I spoke against the law. I judged the law that 65 is too slow. I spoke against those who made it. I don't know anything about the background or the reason for why they made that law, but somebody had decided that was what the law was going to be. I put in your notes. You know, who? Somebody puts a no turn on red. And down by where we live on L Street, Telegraph Canyon Road, and 805 freeway, no matter what you do, if I go this way, want to get on 805 south, it says no turn on red. If I'm getting off 805 going south, it'll get on the L Street, it says no turn on red. I mean, no turn on red. I turn on red all over the city. And you're telling me I can't turn on red at this corner? So I'm thinking to myself, what were they thinking, no turn on red? You know, I can make a safe turn on red here. So again, you know what I just did? Just like James said, I spoke evil of the law. I judged the law as inadequate and that I can disregard it. So that's James' fourth point that he made. So that you are not a doer of the law. That's right, I just violated the law. I drove 75 instead of 85. I made a right turn on red. I know. 85 instead of 65, yeah. Did I go 85? Oh, well, you know, my car, you know, when it starts, 65 is pretty good, it drives nice and smooth. When you go 75, it does have a little shimmy to it. But when you go 85, it kind of corrects itself. You know, you just got to go right along. It works pretty good. But so point number four in the parenthesis, you violate the law. Yeah, because I just said, what a dumb law. I'm turning on red. Or I'm going 75 instead of 65. I'm not a doer of the law. Remember, all this comes with the phrase, speak not evil of your brother. And if you do, number one, you've judged the brother. You spoke evil of the law. You've judged the law. You're not a doer of the law. Now you're just a judge by itself. You're just a judge. Not necessarily of the law now, or against the law. You are a judge. So you become a lawmaker. So by way of illustration, I just put in your notes, I became California's Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Judging the law. You know, after something's been voted on, oh, let's appeal it to the court. Oh, yeah, the court says, oh, that's not you're right. I don't care what the majority says, we're going to change that. California's Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I deemed this law worthless and not valid when I speak evil of my brother. I don't have the authority to change the scriptures. Scripture says don't speak evil of your brother. So when I do, I'm guilty of all these things that James just listed. And the last thing he mentions, there's one lawgiver. The ASB adds judge. And it's not me. It's not me. I'm not the author of the scriptures. In Acts 17:31, it says, because he, meaning God, has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And has given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. I'm not the judge. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. The Lord, the righteous judge. I'm not. There's one lawgiver, one judge. It's not me. So then he closed, in that verse, he closed with the question, who are you that judges? brother. So I'm not going to act a law for God. There's one lawgiver and one judge. I'm not to nullify a law of God. I'm not to presume to act for God by making a law according to my own desires. I see verse 12, there is one, I understand, that's simple English, there's one lawgiver and judge. Wow. So James says, speak not evil, the intent again being, I'm thinking, oh, it's okay, because you don't know what, I think I know what they did, so I think I can go ahead and speak evil of them, and with, again, the idea is with the intent to destroy. It's evil speaking, not just speaking about somebody. The next one I had for you was James 5, verse 9, but I'm just going to kind of reference this one because of the time, but he says in James 5, verse 9, grudge not, the American Standard Version says murmur not. Murmur not, grudge not, one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Almost when I got this, putting this lesson together, I thought, you know, why don't we just sing a few songs, have a prayer, and take the Lord's Supper, and then you guys dismiss, and I'll just preach this to me. You know, it's one of those lessons that in some degree or some measure, some part, it will affect all of us at some time in our life. Now, grudge not, murmur not. Grudge, so kind of definition I put. Link, and some of these words within the English, we have to kind of add a few more words to it to grasp the concept. But it's a lingering grudging is. Ill will toward another for a real or an imagined wrong. Someone, whether we think someone has wronged us and it's either real or imagined, I think they did this to me. And so I'm going to have a lingering ill will. And so it's building, a grudge is building up resentment. It's a grievance. Deep-seated, the dictionary says, means to kind of to give with reluctance, out of grudge. Then murmur. Sometimes I feel a good murmur coming on. things that goes on in my life, or and some things, whether it's real or imagined, with my brethren. You know, I just feel a good murmur, and I want to mutter a little bit and kind of pace it like, I'm glad I try to only do that when I'm alone. A murmur, grumble, mutter, indignant complaining means to cause grief. A steady flow of complaints spoken in a low tone. Dictionary definition. So Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and dissension. In other words, you may want to murmur by yourself for a moment, but don't murmur in a way that it causes dissension. Do all things without murmuring and dissension. In one of our lessons in 1 Peter 4, using hospitality to one another without murmuring, without grudging. Jude verse 13, referring to false teachers. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. That's my own lust. I just want to murmur. I get that way, I call Jim. I say, hey, let me just... can I unload? You know? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. I'll stop with this one. Neither murmur ye. And then we get the example. So you don't know what this murmuring looks like. You just say, oh, don't murmur. Well, okay. No. Don't murmur. Neither murmur ye as, here's the illustration. Some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them. For example, they are written for our admonition. So now you go back and look at the character or the action of murmuring by the Israelites against Moses. they stirred up dissension. It wasn't just what I just did, kind of going this way. No. They stirred up the people. That's what the Bible is speaking about and warning us. Don't murmur like they did. So if something goes on around here, you just don't like it. I don't like the way the color they painted those walls. You like the color they painted those walls? Why don't we do some of the, we get together and we just, who made that? Who chose that? That's just it. But if you, that's stereotype. if you start murmuring about the color of the walls and begin to stir up dissension, now, I don't mind the color of the walls.
Who cares?
That's right. Who cares? That's one of those things. See, because the admonition that the verses are speaking about is when you express things that cause rumble, dissension, it's evil speaking, is to where you rally the troops against one another and against God, as the Israelites did against Moses and Aaron and God. And if you read those verses I have listed for you, down at the bottom, I already typed them out, but they're not very long. Just in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord. People thirsted for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? That's a serious murmur when you rally the troops against the leaders. Numbers 14. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we died in the wilderness. Really? Well, that's a murmur and a mutter, a grumble. Numbers 14. Then God says, your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, all of you that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. I don't think murmur is just a light thing. Number 16. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, ye killed the people of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 1:27, and ye murmured in your tents. So I guess that's a lesson for us. I don't want my carcass to fall in the wilderness. Someplace else, but not the wilderness. So that's the lesson. I get put in your clothing. Read again the two texts. Keep them. Don't judge them unworthy, because when you do that, you become a judge of the law and not a doer of the law. So. When I first started preaching, I took all the brotherly publications, Gospel Advocate, Contending for the Faith, Firm Foundation, Gospel Light out of Arkansas. I mean, I had a lot of publications. And I get these articles, and I just put them in a file folder. I'd tear them out of there and make copies of them and put them in a folder. So I have a file folder on tongues, of the tongue of speaking. This one was a Bolden article from 1978. July 26, 78, but he had a little story here. It says, wisdom is knowing when to speak your mind and when to mind your speech. We must be aware of half-truths, lest we find ourselves with the wrong half. He had the story. A lady invited friends to a mushroom steak dinner. When the mushroom can was opened, a light scum was on top. The guests were expected soon, so the lady suggested to the maid, give the dog a little, and if he eats it, it's probably all right. The dog ate it, liked it, begged for more. So the guest arrived, and a lady served the dinner, and it was completed. After the main course, the maid came back and whispered to the lady, madam, the dog is dead. There's only one thing to do, the lady said. Well, sometime later, the guests were reclining after the use of a stomach pump. The lady went back to the maid and said, where's the dog now? The maid said, well, out in the driveway, madam, where he fell when the car hit him. lesson. We saw sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Oh, everyone here is a member of the Lord's Church. We'll sing a song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament Church, you're not a Christian, meaning you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity this evening. You simply need your response. You've heard the gospel. You believe it. You're willing to turn your life around and be baptized. And then, but from that time on, you grow in grace and knowledge. So let's sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Let's stand if you'd like to.